Blog Talk Radio.
You have made it to Stu and the Nun, an online radio show that looks to inform, educate, and hopefully make you laugh. Stu and the Nun is a show focused on national security, policy, politics, and selfless service. We do this by not only interviewing guests, but also sharing our perspectives and asking you, the listener, to interact with us on our show chat room, via our Facebook page, and on Twitter.
To build a home we are proud to know, and give respect to those who made it so. We start to keep the dream alive, for you and I to realize. American dream, we speak our minds, and fight to keep our dream alive. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Stu and the Nun. You got Stu here with
the Nun.
That's right. We are together, brothers from another motherland, in our southern studio here in the great state of Texas.
The Republic of Texas, the home of tonight's episode, outside Austin, Texas, the grand municipality. I was going to try and French it up and call it the city. Probably by definition we are, but we like to think of ourselves as a small town, big city, Georgetown, Texas. In studio, none in studio, and we are ready. What you're about to hear is the clink of two raindrop whiskey tumblers with some Boulay bourbon, or if you're American, it's Bullet.
Bullet bourbon, bringing you tonight's episode of Stu and the Nun.
It's the Frontier Whiskey, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. It's a 10-year blend. And it's helping us wash down the delicious meal we had from Fire and Ice Pizza Bar out of Round Rock, Texas. That's right. If you want a pizza done right, you go to Fire and Ice and you have it. It's delicious. We have an awesome show tonight. A guy that I served with in Iraq, who is basically known as the blog father in certain communities, mainly in the mill blog community. The author, Colby Bozell. It's amazing what he did with his New York Times bestseller, My War, Killing Time in Iraq. He's really like Kerouacian figure of our generation that's out there doing pretty interesting, neat stuff. Kind of a fringe guy. I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. It's kind of an exciting way because he's out there doing cool stuff. So excited to have him on. But first, we're changing up. Instead of ranting at the end, we're going to go into some issues on the front end, because there's so much going on. So let's do a quick around the world. In the past 2 weeks, some big things have happened. We took a week off. That's why we're going back that far. But since then, there's been an alleged test of a hydrogen bomb.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that's at. Not sure. A lot of people have cast doubt on it. That little fat, lonely boy over there in North Korea, I think he put a whole bunch of TNT in the mountain just enough to get a little rock and roll. And I haven't heard a lot from the community, the world community, that they put a lot of stock in that. But, you know, still, he's getting some attention.
Well, I work out like he tests hydrogen bombs. Like, I say I do it, but the results are not necessarily visible. And in my heart, I feel like the effort was there.
You meant well. You meant well.
I meant well.
Yeah. I tell you what, you know how you could get real attention? He invited, what's his name, the basketball dude.
Oh, Rodman.
Rodman. If he invited Caitlyn Jenner over and the Kardashians, he would be front page. He really would. I think that's what he needs to do. Bring Caitlyn over and give her a tour in North Korea. He could show her his missiles.
Yeah.
Just saying. You know. Other things happen. It's just an idea.
Yeah.
It may not work, but it's just a thought I had.
Wouldn't it be awesome if they went there, I don't know, let's say, detained to remain.
Yeah.
Forcibly.
Just just to check out the finer restaurant. They could give some Yelp reviews for restaurants in Pyongyang.
How long would the hashtag Free the Kardashians survive North Korea?
Bring Caitlyn home.
Yeah.
Bring Bruce home. Either way, which side you swing the fence on there.
So, no, I mean, at first when I saw that, you know, I was like, oh, here we go. 216, 2K16, big boom, big bang. But, you know, I think, you know, we got some Sabres and they're doing that rattling thing.
Yeah. He's been off the grid for a while.
Yeah.
ISIS has stolen all his thunder. Paris has stolen all his thunder.
Yeah.
You know?
Poor guy. You know, like, it is hard to be a tyrannical dictator when ISIS are out there stealing your thunder.
Yeah.
Like, how dare they?
You know, it takes a lot to outdo them right now.
Like, well, you know, El Chapo, you know, he didn't like that they were stealing his thunder, so he declared war on him. Didn't work out well for him because...
And then he got to interview with Sean Penn because he figured that was the next step.
Well, I mean, Sean Penn does have a reputation for being an amazing citizen journalist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has covered Saddam Hussein. He met with him prior to our invasion.
Didn't he do something in Dominican Republic or Haiti or something?
I believe so. I believe he touched down in Haiti. I believe he also touched down at Katrina.
He was Katrina, yeah.
He's now doing
Jesse Jackson a little bit. Jesse needs to bring it. Speaking of people, I mean, I know we're bouncing all over tonight, but, you know, we've been gone for 2 weeks.
So yeah.
But, I mean, basically Jesse Jackson's a shtick, right? You know, fly, meet with people that aren't really in our best interest right now.
International fugitives.
Yeah.
You know, although I like to make fun of the good Reverend on most occasions. However, I will always give him credit because he deserves it. He brought our boys back from the Balkans. And when our boys got clipped over there and got, you know, taken across the border, we didn't negotiate, and he went over there, and he brought those boys back. I want to say that was like when 99, right? He did that.
Yeah.
And that was his effort. So, like, on one hand, he didn't forget about us, not as a military. Like, he stood by our men. But that's pretty much where my credit for him is going to cease right now. Since then, he's done some very divisive,
questionable things.
Yeah,
we got to get back on track. So you started with our boy in North Korea. There's a lot of topics going on the week, so I'm going to get us back on.
All right, so let's keep going around the world.
Let me just say real quick for our listeners, it is so much better being in the same studio together.
Yep.
We can look at each other, read body language. We don't have that awkward, like, satellite phone gap pause and stuff, you know. And
it does suck, though, because, like, we have to, like, share the bourbon.
We do, but it's your bourbon, so I don't mind sharing.
Right. That's why I said it's awkward for me. But, no, I really think it's been a great start to the year. A lot of positive things, some scary things. I mean, obviously, gun control, we're going to get into that in a few minutes. But that kind of set the tone for a lot of stuff. But, you know, fugitives have been captured. Bombs have been tested, but the absolute bear keeps, you know, being poked. And, you know, Iran, you know, like, I just want to jump to that. It's one of the newer topics, but I'm going to let you talk about it for a few seconds before I chime in. But, like, there's some brazenness going on in the world because we're in a position of weakness. I don't know how else to say it. Like, we are no longer talking or negotiating or speaking from any kind of position of validity. We're speaking from a position of weakness, and that's allowing. I can't imagine any other situation in the history of our country where someone took some of our property and we'd been like, oh, well, that sucks. I mean, it wasn't, but, you know, a couple of years ago, we at least, like, went against some, you know, 14-year-old boys with AKs when it came to taking one of our freight liners.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah,
you know,
and a John boat, and a, you know.
Right. I mean, it was embarrassing. It took as long as it took to deal with, but we still dealt with it. Like, I haven't heard a single, like, press conference other than news clips on this yet.
And, well, Senator Barbara Boxer, Lord knows she is a litmus test of what's going on in security and good decision making, has said that this was just a simple misunderstanding. A couple boats broke down. small Navy vessels broke down in the Gulf between Bahrain and Kuwait. And that's a pretty wide Gulf. I know it looks small on the map, you know, but people also think that Alaska is right next to Hawaii because of what they see on the map. But anyways, they somehow wandered into what Iran claims is their space. They've taken it, and Iran said, oh, we're going to get them right back to you. We'll get you the people. We'll get you your Navy sailors back, but we're not going to get you necessarily the boats back. You know, if the countries of the world were kids and people, then we would be the one getting our lunch money taken and getting our butt kicked on the schoolyard right now by the big bullies and even a few girls, because that's really what it feels like. Is, you know, if someone else would have been in office, I guarantee they wouldn't even have tried this. But to come across the entire Persian Gulf, the guys were like in I don't know, like RV-15s or something. They're very small but vessels because there's only 10 sailors out of two boats. So five sailors a vessel means they're not really overly large vessels. They're not the ships you see in some of the news feeds. They're showing a full-size warship saying that Iran took our ship. It's not one of those. So they're not big. So, I mean, for Iran to come all the way across and snatch them, I doubt the guys were just free-floating, bobbing around like a Somali with a broken motor out there.
No, I mean, and that's the thing, is it shouldn't matter if it's a one-man dinghy that you purchased down at Walmart for $15.99, if it's got the flag of the United States on it, you shouldn't touch it. And you should respect the laws of the naval laws of the international waters. You should respect the treaties. And those that don't should be held accountable. You know, I hate to say this, but man, I think Greenpeace are more effective on the water right now with their whale wars bullshit than we are. I mean, one of my dear friends, I'd like to give him a shout out, a young man by the name of Ryan. You know, he's overseas right now in Bahrain, you know, serving our country with the Navy there, doing great things. You know, and I like, you know, as soon as I saw this stuff, like, I immediately felt for him. I'm like, man, like, why are we allowing our force to be in such a predicament? Like, how are we not, like, doing more to, like, beat the stick? I mean,
a great American president said, walk softly, carry a big stick. Like, that wasn't Confucius. That wasn't some, like, you know, mythical creature. That wasn't some philosophical.
Didn't Walking Tall say that too?
Well,
but
based on a true story.
Fair enough.
An 18 series out of the great state of Washington. But yeah, no, it's mind blowing that we're allowing these little things to happen. Now, I also get it. I hear that we need to talk more about internal issues. You know, I just spent an amazing weekend, one of the most amazing weekends, Troy, that you can imagine in terms of hunting with some of our wounded heroes, two single leg amputees, one from Iraq, one from Afghanistan, and taking them out into the field and doing just old school open range hunting. It was amazing. But we did it down near the border. And down there, you know, like, with our own eyes, we witnessed, you know, what those guys are dealing with down there. And it's crazy. And I get that we need to focus on that stuff. But we also, we have the greatest force in the world. Let's act like it.
Right. We shouldn't need Greenpeace to protect our ships and give us shipside security.
Yeah.
Right. Just saying, you know.
Just saying.
Yeah. So what else we got? We talked about that. We got a little bit for our guest comes on.
Immediately following our show tonight, the world is going to tune in. Well, when we say world, we mean like the same world that participates in the World Series, is going to tune in to the State of the Union address tonight. And this is an interesting one. It's his last.
Thank you.
It is.
Did I say that out loud?
It was.
Just sorry. And, my inner voice came out.
Yeah. No, you probably should work on that monologue.
Yeah.
It's his last one. There's a lot of hot topics going on, and you know, I think it's going to be interesting because the tone of what he says is going to impact so many things, to include the funding of the primaries. Like,
if he leans and states something that leans towards a certain candidate on the Republican side, people are going to like react to it. And it must be strange for him to be in a position that he's got to weigh what he says about that, because he's basically like helping his demise. He's helping the demise of his party. You know, they have so much inner turmoil. We got Hillary with, you know, this new email stuff where, you know, she asked someone to like declassify it onto paper.
Yeah, just take that classification banner off.
You know, like, and it doesn't matter what face of the nation you go on, what meet the media you go on. You do that, you basically just said, I'm totally down with you breaking the law here.
Yep.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to ask you to do it. And then
I think Rob Halford's saying about that.
breaking the law, breaking the law.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just saying.
No, so it's interesting. And, you know, plus there's gun control is such a polarizing issue right now. And people are so in arms about it.
Forgive the pun.
No, that's the pun. Totally intended. The people are in arms about it. You know, everyone jokes, and including Obama, that he's the best gun salesman ever. But it's going to be interesting. You know, he's been called out on his facts of being inaccurate. He's been called out on, you know, utilizing the statement common sense, where, you know, it doesn't pass the common sense test. And, you know, it's a challenging time in America. But we got guys in Oregon taking over federal buildings saying that they're ready to take up arms against the federal government.
Right.
We got, you know, that's the second occurrence within a 2-year period. We have all kinds of different things going on. It's an interesting time. Like, he's got to be careful what he says tonight. And I'm excited to sit there with you and watch it. And if you follow on our Facebook,
yep,
which we hope you do, you know, you'll see our commentary.
Do we get anybody in chat right now? I'm getting some reports. People are having a couple reports of people having problems getting in the chat and getting in the audio. So I don't know. Do you see anyone loaded on? I mean, do people even hear us? I'm not sure what you're seeing, if you see anything. I don't have Toby set up in his studio. I've not baited his studio with my equipment, even though I probably should. Hopefully people can hear us.
The server's too busy now for the chat.
Okay, so it's saying the same thing to you as it is to other people.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting from a couple of our dedicated listeners.
Oh, well. What are they saying about the audio? Are they saying that they're enjoying our...
No, I'm getting a quote from the Shard that says loading audio for smooth playback. So,
well, it's going to be smooth.
It's smooth as this,
and it's
as
gonna,
this bullet bourbon, I'm telling you.
And it's going to play back. It never ceases to amaze me.
The high quality.
The high quality of DTR.
Block Talk Radio.
Just absolutely impressed with the money that we spend.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank our sponsors for spending it for us, if they only spend more.
Yep, that's sponsor.
Now,
so what else we got going? So I just saw some late-breaking news, Toby, coming across the wire. I mean, late-breaking.
Well, break it to me.
So apparently, soldiers nowadays have no idea what it means to throw a house party and how to do it on the down low. Back in my day, when I was a private hanging out in the greater Killeen, Texas area.
40 miles from here.
Yeah, we used to throw parties all the time, throw keggers, you know, invite the local community to, in a way to involve the local civilian community with the military and try to build those bonds.
You got to bridge that gap.
Yeah. We usually did it through $5 a cup, girls drink free, but however it worked out.
We bridged that gap.
The ranch here at an 8th Avenue housing area knew us well. But anyways, apparently 25 soldiers at Fort Riley were just arrested after breaking up a house party that had loud music and has gotten them with contributing to the delinquency of a minor, possession of marijuana, other drugs, alcohol, all kind of stuff. 25 soldiers, which tells me one of a couple things. They weren't well, they were very junior, well-trained soldiers because they did not have any. number one.
Clearly, we're not talking infantry.
It could not be. The infantryman would have an expo route. His car would be parked on the street.
And there would have been somebody arrested. But that's because they drew fire.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, I'm taking it for the team, boys.
Yep, exactly. Everyone else would have been like cockroaches in the sunlight. They would have scattered. So
yeah,
45
I mean, like,
soldiers just arrested and involved drugs and alcohol and stuff. So it's clear that
I'm a little disappointed to hear that drugs were involved.
Yeah.
While we had some great parties, they only involved the fair sex as well as copious amounts of alcohol.
The cheapest beer you could get at the Class 6.
Copious amounts.
Whether it was Miller Lite or if you really spent money, you got Michelob.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you really wanted to step it up and impress them, if the blue label was on sale, you got it. No, I mean,
but anyway, that just happening real recently. So,
but I think that's indicative of like the culture that's going on right now. The ability to do the things that we did when we were younger has definitely disappeared, and one of it is social media.
Yeah. So. Camera phones, social media, Facebook. Yeah. We would not have achieved what we did in our military careers or lives, probably, if that would have been around.
No, absolutely not. But one of the things like that kind of disappoints me is, like, that's breaking news. You know, like, that's every weekend at every college town
right. In
America. But now, you know, here we have, like, let's take an opportunity to, like, kind of slap the military a little bit. Let's take every opportunity to slap our law enforcement. You know, there's so many stories of, you know, a law enforcement officer helping somebody out. But what we get is, you know, this guy, you know, gave me a ticket. You know, let me show you that he was a dick, you know, while I filmed him with my iPhone.
Right.
I had a wonderful exchange with a law enforcement officer just last week when I got T-boned. A brand new truck.
The one that's outside.
Yeah, that's that one right there.
Is it ever been fixed?
No, you saw the other side.
Oh.
You know, by someone that was unregistered and potentially, you know.
Driver or citizen?
The driver was unregistered. The vehicle was unregistered.
Mm.
And, you know, it was pouring rain and, you know, the respondent officer was a motorcycle cop. And, you know, his mindset was not on the accident. His mindset was on making sure that everyone was okay, including her passenger, which was a little girl. And the way he conducted himself was when it was raining and, you know, that little girl was out in the cold, you know, he was like, we need to get this little girl a jacket. We need to get this girl, like, covered, you know, and warm. And it just warmed my heart that, you know, his thought process was that versus, like, let me jam up the situation because, you know, I have some violations here. I got, you know, an unregistered vehicle. I got these things. And it just, you see that all the time. And I think that's the same thing that's happening here. You got an opportunity to, like, oh, well, military, they're held to this higher standard. And they should be. And we are. But, you know, like, 25 dudes having a wild house party, like, that's every football town in Texas, that's every college town in America, that's every hockey town in Minnesota, that's every hockey town in New York. Like, that's not breaking news.
Right.
You know, just like a dude, you know, having a hard time, you know, saying a natural form of Viagra and copious amounts of drugs have put him into, say, like a coma at a bunny ranch is not breaking news. That's just, You're stupid. You're a jackass. And, you know, like, let's not throw a hashtag on it. Let's just say, like,
right.
But they definitely weren't infantry, because infantry, one guy would have taken the bullet for the team and everyone else would have got out of there.
Right. Hey, if you're listening or trying to listen or whatever, if you call into our guest line and listen, you can definitely hear without a problem. We verify that technically works. 516-387-1272. 516-387-1272. I'll be putting that on the Facebook page so people know. But if you're wanting to listen to the show, if you're having a hard time getting in, you can definitely call in and listen. It sounds great. So anyways, just wanted to say that. So what else we got going on? Tobe, what do you guys think? Well, hey, are you buying any Powerball tickets? How's that working out for you?
I am. As a matter of fact, I've indulged in a couple of tickets. I indulged in the last one. I'm joining and partnering with some folks on the purchase of some others. And I'm pretty excited about that. What I've really enjoyed about all this is, you know, talking about the different strategies on how you conduct yourself after you win. And then the other thing is making fun of all the people that put up those stupid memes that had like basic arithmetic problems.
Oh, that for me.
Like,
I saw that.
Solved. Like, no, actually, like, that's not how it works.
Yeah. The, so I've been involved with only, not on my own tickets, but I've been involved in some pools with one of my clients. There's a whole bunch of us. So the first one there were 26 of us. And then the last one was 58 of us. So I don't know what this next one's going to be, but we won some money, nothing near that's, you know, Rudy pretty much just rolled it over into the next one. So I've been involved on that, but, you know, we'll see. One, there's 58, there may be more, but, you know, I think we could take 1.4 bill and split that up and still live pretty comfortably, even amongst 58 people. So, yeah, I've been doing some of my own and then some in some pools to get chances, but, yeah, what gets me is I put up something I think I tweeted about the other day on my Twitter at Boohammer. Make sure you check out boohammer.com or at Boohammer on Twitter or Boohammer on Facebook. So I put up a thing about, you know, people. I guess what gets me, Tobe, is all this, if you look, you have one 15 main chance to be president. You have one in whatever chance you could do this. And you have all these other things you could do besides win the lottery. You know, it's a one in 292 million chance. And I go, yeah, that's true. But I look at it this way. I'm at the love of my life, the perfect woman for me, out of the billions of people on this planet. Hey, what are the chances of that? I have served with, fought with, and we have some of the best friends in the world that I could ever have that I would never have met any other way. What are the chances of that? What are the chances of experiencing some of the things we have experienced, both you and I, together or even separately in our lives, that, you know, one of those small world kind of things where just what are the opportunities? Hey, if I've done that, I could win this. So, you know, don't tell me about, I'd have a one in, you know, I have a better chance of being struck by lightning three times. Maybe so. Especially, you know, if I go walk around outside with a golf club up during a lightning storm, I probably have a better than chance in that. But if I don't play, you know, how many times have I given, bought something off a Girl Scout or a Cub Scout or some nonprofit or whatever, bought into some raffle, really just to help the group out? Not necessarily to win, but if you win, great. I do it. For whatever. I go to Vegas. I have friends that work in casinos. I don't go to Vegas to win big money. I don't gamble a lot when I go to Vegas or any casino. Most of them, if they're non-Indian reservation casinos, they serve Crown.
That's worth going to.
I can play nickel slots or penny slots and drink Crown free all night. So, you know, I don't go there to win big money. If I win a few bucks,
you start talking about Crown. Sydney is like, I'm part of
the Crown loving dog. Yeah.
That's a Crown loving dog.
So, you know, I may walk in and drop 20 and pick up 40, and that's okay. I'm not looking to get rich, but hey, if you don't try, you don't know.
You don't win. You know, I especially enjoyed the one that said, you have the same chances of being in a fight with a polar bear and a grizzly bear in the same day. And I was like, well, that's like winning the lottery too, because if you fight both, that means you live. So
yeah,
like I'm that guy. But pretty excited. We're at the 30 minute mark, and we are about to bring on a legendary Tomahawk, a member of the Bravo Company, first of the 23rd Infantry Tomahawks, New York Times best-selling author, and pretty cool young American.
Is he a fan of bourbon?
Rumor has it that he enjoys whiskey of all types.
Oh, okay.
In fact, Colby, are you with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, man. So our first question, we're going to hit you hard right out of the box. Are you a whiskey guy or a bourbon guy?
Whiskey guy. Usually when I go to a bar, it's well whiskey and Bud Light or something.
Well.
Wow. You're a cheap date. I like that, man.
Yeah,
well whiskey, Bud Light.
Yeah, and I'm going for because, you know, after like three or four, you know, it all starts tasting the same anyways, you know.
See, like, my man's a realist.
Yeah.
You know, we're over here, like, being snooty, but he's a realist. He's
we're
like
taking Guinness and Bullet bourbon.
He's like, enjoy that Guinness and Bullet. I'm over here with a Pabst and, a Well, and it's good.
You know, I've now met the guy that actually buys that military special whiskey on the bottom shelf of the Classics.
You've met him twice.
I met him twice. Oh, you too. All right.
So what's going on, my man? You know, it's super excited. You got a lot of stuff going on right now, and we're just happy you were able to fit us into your busy schedule.
Right on. No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, you know, you're coming off of two big books. Now you're like another one, which is a really cool compilation. How is Thanks for Being Expendable going for you right now?
Not really that great. I mean, it's just something I did on the side. A publisher contacted me. They wanted to put out an anthology of all my stuff. I agreed to it. And then they kind of went under, and it got kind of orphaned. So it's kind of just out there. I mean, it's all just stuff I've written before in the past, and it's just something that's out there. But I'm not really necessarily pushing it, or they're not pushing it because, you know, they went, you know, they kind of gotten some, I don't know what their deal is with the byline or whatever. I think they went out of business again. No contact with them whatsoever. They didn't promote it or do any publicity or any of that for it. So it kind of, I guess the term is the book got orphaned. But, you know, shit happens, you know, kind of move on and try to focus on the next thing.
Serialism?
Are you there? Yeah, are you there, buddy?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the you know, being in the publishing business, you know, hypothetically, you know, it sucks when that happens. But you know, I think you put out a great product, and you know, we are, as we speak on our Facebook page, we actually have the link to that. Hopefully, we'll push that out to our listeners.
Right. So, thank you.
You're kind of known as like the blog father, the guy that started the military blogging. You know, I was a staff sergeant when we were in the Tomahawks together, and I always like enjoyed reading your stuff, even though like sometimes from a leadership perspective, you know, we had to like, you know, make sure that you weren't getting too wild and crazy, but You're a gifted writer. You're a talented young man, and like you've made it, or you're making your way as a writer. And for someone in this day and age, like with all the technology, like you've been able to keep like this classic craft alive. Like, what do you attribute to that?
Just luck. I mean, it looks like you know, I hear all that and stuff, and you know, it's just maybe I'm too dumb to do anything else. You know, that and just luck. You know, like I don't really pitch stories or articles to people. It's just usually an email or phone call from someone asking me if I have something to say on something, and usually I'll turn around and write something real quick and send it in. And you know, that happens every, you know, 2 to 3 months. You know, something will come in randomly, you know, I guess just luck, you know.
Well, you know, one man's luck is a result of another man's effort. But I believe that in this case, your effort your luck is a result of your effort. The, you know, recently you've been on assignment in the Republic of Texas. I hope our people treated you well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was there last for 2 weeks over the holidays. And no, I mean, I'm kind of excited and nervous about this next one. I mean, I can't really talk too much about it just because I don't want to jinx it, you know, like talk all
right
about what happened and then like something screwy happens where they don't publish it or something. But no, this next one, yeah, I expect to get a lot of hate mail or whatever from it, but, you know, I'm ready for it, you know.
Hey, one of the pieces that I'm most proud of, I wrote on Ranger Up's Rhino Den last year.
where I had like guys threatening to come down and you know whack me or whatever, and it made me so happy to get that. I know that sounds funny, but I was kind of like, well, obviously, like
criticism.
If it's pissing you off that much, I wrote it for you, and here, like, let me give you a Southwest voucher, and like I'll fly you down to Austin. And as soon as you step off the plane, you clear security, you know, you and I can deal with it in the parking garage, and then I'll fucking put your busted ass back on the plane and, like, send you home. Like, challenge accepted. You know, like, obviously, if I'm pissing you off, I'm hitting a chord, that means I'm right. It means I'm on something. You don't back away from that stuff. That's challenging. That's exciting. Now I want to read it.
Right. Yeah, you know, I mean, you can't really think about, you know, who you're going to piss off when you write something, or else, you know, it'll affect your writing. You just got to write it and call it like you see it and then see what happens, you know, kind of thing.
The, you know, a good friend of mine, I think you know him, a guy by the name of Kelly Krieger, he posted something earlier. And, you know, I think it's, you know, it makes, you know, perfect sense. You know, it's actually a quote by, you know, Margaret Thatcher. And, you know, it's, if you set out to be liked, you'll be prepared to compromise on anything at all at any time, and you will achieve nothing. Like, I think
that's
a brilliant
quote. That can apply to writing, too, you know? I mean, you can't
Absolutely.
Think like that. You just have to write honestly and not really be concerned or even think about how, you know, really people are going to perceive you. You know, you try to, you know, make friends with everyone. I mean, what good are you, you know?
Well, you know, like, I'm the friend of some and
the enemy of many.
The enemy of many.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, I was second to none. But everyone knows, like, that's overplayed.
Well, you know, it's why your best leaders, not just in the military, but even in the civilian world, are people that aren't looking to be leaders to be accepted, right? We've all seen those people. The ones that are trying to make everyone be happy are the weakest leaders there are. You know, the best leaders are folks, and not even just leaders, people that produce in life are people that are need for achievement people. They want to take something and at the end of the day walk away from it and say, all right, I did something today. I was productive. I you know, whatever it was, it's not the people that need for acceptance. Those people are trying to make everyone happy. And like I say, like even like Margaret Thatcher said, they're weak. I mean, people look at them because you're having to compromise. You're having to – you can't make everyone happy. That's why your best leaders – and, you know, we used to say outright, any NCO you ever had in the military were like, I'm not here for popularity. I'm not here to be liked. I don't give a shit if you like me. But you're going to freaking respect me, and you're going to do what I tell you, and I'm going to bring you home, and we're going to get the mission done. You know, it's a long time
ago,
first sergeant, two sergeant, I didn't worry about what my soldiers thought.
Yeah.
Zero. Now, our boy Bo Bergdahl, apparently he thought that, you know.
He's Jason Bourne.
He's Jason Bourne, and you know, he should have liked his leaders, and he didn't like it that his leaders were mean, apparently. So, anyway.
But I got to tell you, like, so Colby had, like, one of the baddest team leaders in the Army. So this kid by the name of Todd Vance, man, like, and I say kid, I mean
Corporal E5.
E5, man. Yeah. And this dude's a stud. I mean, he came and he did some work with me with the ING, and man, like, I looked at this dude when he came in there, and he was like straight Viking, and I was scared. Like, I was like, man, I gotta step my game up if I'm gonna hang with this kid. This dude is a beast. What was it like, you know, being around, like, you know, straight up Dago, hardcore Todd Vance?
It was cool. Like, I met him. He was one of the first guys I met when I showed up to Fort Lewis. And I stayed in his room, and I looked at his CDs and some of his books that he had on the shelf. And I was like, whoa, you know, this guy's into the same music and stuff that I'm into. And then when he came back from, I think, NTC, we started hanging out, going to bars, going to punk shows, and then we'd go to the gym. And he was, like, way into kickboxing at that time. And, you know, he'd teach me how to throw a punch and stuff. And, you know, we just practiced. And then when we went to Iraq, you know, he was all into working out. You know, he had a gym set in front of his room, and we'd lift weights. And he'd always talk about, like, getting back into kickboxing when we got back. And then MMA was kind of getting bigger at that time. and he kind of got into that scene. And then, yeah, he's doing a lot of cool, positive stuff down there with his POW organization. That's what he does. He combines, like, PTSD and MMA fighting into this, like, positive kind of thing for veterans. And, like, yeah, the guy's, you know, totally blown up, you know. He's, like, you know, getting a lot of positive attention. And, you know, he's also a good guy, you know. And every mission I went on in Iraq, he was there. And, you know, he was just one of those guys that, you know, you want to be next to when you go on a raid or any mission, you know. He's one of those squared away guys that, like you said, it's just a warrior, you know, but, like, not a cocky or, you know, likable guy. Great NCO, well-respected by everyone. No, I can't say enough good things about him.
The so while we got you, you know, there's so many things we'd love to ask you, but while we got you, man, what do you think the most defining experience you had in the military was?
Most defining, I mean, probably August 4th, like when this huge firefight that happened, you know, where we got called up, these insurgents were attacking the FOB. It was just a crazy day. I mean, there's that moment. That's the main one that comes to mind. I mean, there's a whole bunch, you know, the day I got, you know, the Crest rifles, and then the day I got the CIB, and then
so
rolling
the Crossroads, man.
I mean, there's just a whole wide array of different experiences that come to mind.
So you're talking to two senior NCOs, Cross Rifles. You know, we love it when we got an infantryman on here with us because, you know, we speak the same language. We feel the same things. We all went to the Fort Benning School for Boys together. Wayward School. The Wayward School for Boys. How do you feel about all the stuff that's going on with the opening up of infantry to the girls? What do you feel about?
Well, I'm glad I was in the infantry when I was. You know, and,
my dog right there. He's like, no offense.
I mean, I'm going to get a lot of, you know, and I'll debate anyone on this. Yeah, that's the way I look at it. I mean, yeah, I mean, I have no beef with women soldiers. I mean, they, you know, I mean, I've heard all of it, you know, they're on the front lines, they're doing all this other stuff, but so I can't really comment on that. And all I can comment is, you know, when I was there, like, the only women we had were, like, you know, some of these girls that were, like, intelligence or, like, you know, interpreters or something. But it was mostly just guys. And and I remember, like, I mean, every infantryman will tell you this, like, you know, you'll be there, and then, like, across the street will be, like, the Pogue, you know, guys and stuff, and you see them playing volleyball and grab ass, and it's just, like, a way different experience than, like, what most infantrymen had in Iraq. And I'm not saying some of that's gonna, like, filter into the infantry, you know, like, will be, like, a fucking summer vacation or something like that with the corporation women. It would be like, I don't know. That's a tricky thing. Like, you know, people ask me, oh, what do you think of women in the infantry? And I don't know. I mean, they're, you know, yeah, sure. If they want to be in it, go ahead, knock yourself out, you know, have fun, you know?
So I think I see in that future episode here with Kobe and Eve Chase on Do a Little Point Counterpoint.
Hey, Kobe,
well,
do you know
this guy? Totally, is he all four women in the infantry?
No, it's the founder of American Women's Veterans.
Yeah,
and no, like she's game. Like, she's a gamer. Like, she's in it. She's a warrior. And you know, and man, we had some of the same folks on that tour that you had in terms of females supporting us with the human intelligence teams and stuff. And there were a couple in there that were just like, they're pretty savage.
Just real quick too, for our listeners who may not know, may not be military savvy, right? Pogue, as you hear him use the term, is besides being a great bourbon, and it really is smooth, also means personnel other than grunts or people other than grunts. So just so you know, that's what the term means. So non-infantry types, non-cross rifle wearing types, And anyways, yeah, so we'll have to see about that. Maybe a good little shock and awe episode there. But, you know, so I guess, you know, without a doubt, Colby, you know, you know well enough that the military, regardless of what branch or MOS or whatever you're in, I mean, it taught you a lot. I'm sure it shaped you into very much the person you are now. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts are as far as people that don't serve, that think they know what it's like? Should people, everyone be required to serve almost on a conscript to put some skin in the game? Any opinions or feelings on that?
Yeah, you know, the military is not for everyone. You know, and if the military, you know, and I don't really look down or think anything differently of people that don't join, you know, again, it's not for everyone. Sometimes I do have a problem with like these, like, you know, like, you know, these people that like wear all this high speed gear, and you could tell like, you know, they're trying to look Delta Force, and they carry their guns around, and like, yeah, they take selfies, but they've never served. But kind of look at those people kind of weird. But no, I don't really, you know, military is not for everyone. I mean, yeah, it'd be great if there was an option where you either serve your country or serve in some kind of Peace Corps or kind of community thing. But, you know, that'll never happen, you know.
The so what do you think, you know, for you would be the quintessential military story to tell?
I don't know, man. I mean, there's so many. I mean, everyone's got a different military story to tell. I mean, there's so many. I mean, there's not really one quintessential story. I mean, there's been books about guys that went off to war and didn't pull a trigger, and guys that went to war and saw all sorts of combat, guys that went to war and just stayed on base. I mean, there's all these various different stories that stem from war. I don't think there's one specific, you know, type of story.
Exactly. You know, and that's the beauty. It's like there's so many people that think that there is that one thing, and that's like our test question, because we're like, no, there's so many dynamics, there's so many levels, there's so many filters. Like the human condition is such a beautiful yet complex and multi-layered thing that there's so many different ways to come at it. But the Stu's got something for you. Go ahead, Stu.
Yeah, you know, recently in the last week, the DOD announced that they're going to go back and relook at over 1,100 awards, Silver Stars and up, so Distinguished Service Crosses and everything to Navy Crosses, to see if any of them warranted being considered for the Medal of Honor. You know, there's been both sides of the opinion on this in the circles that I've been talking to. Some think, okay, this is just the way the administration or the millennial driven DOD is trying to like make sure everyone gets a trophy. And there's others that say, no, this should have happened. This is justified because there's no doubt there's been tons of phenomenal acts of bravery and courage out there that have been overlooked and not properly recognized for whatever reason through the last 15 years of war. What are your thoughts? Where do you stand on that? What are your thoughts about that?
If somebody feels like that, you know, they deserve a medal for something, you know, they should, you know, be allowed to contest it and go through the proper. I don't know. I don't really think too much about medals and stuff. You know, I've been out of the military for like 10 years, and you know, if people, you know, are demanding medals, but are they lowering the standard to accommodate? So like, as you said, like everyone gets a trophy, then yeah, I'd be against that. But I don't know.
Yeah.
All I can say is I remember there, it was like near impossible to get medals. I remember guys, you know, coming in and, you know, putting in the paperwork for stuff and just, you know, having it rejected, you know, the platoon sergeant just saying, no, you're doing your job. You know, what, you want a medal for doing your job? You know,
right.
Like, I just remember, like, it was almost impossible for guys to get medals while we were there.
Yeah, and I think a length some of it's being driven by the fact that I think
like
they recognize that
for stuff,
right.
And just no one put in the paperwork for it, you know?
Right. And I think that's kind of what they recognize is that they saw no Medal of Honors being awarded or any recipients from like the first 7 or 8 years of the two wars. And so I think they kind of went back and looked at all of them, like, was someone trying to protect? Were people, I mean, there's no doubt in 2001 and all the actions in Afghanistan, 2003 and the initial actions in Iraq, that there were not phenomenally brave actions that they, even though guys were doing their job, just, you know, the amount of bravery stuff they showed were, and I think that's kind of what's driving it, is they're going, were some of these guys overlooked because maybe commanders didn't realize what it took, or maybe they didn't realize what it meant to, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm sure you saw some, and I know I saw some of my deployments, of just some people that just in awe of how they performed, and just, you know, thinking of the take that and multiply the number of people that have, the number of ticks, the number of battles that have happened, how even, you know, the bravery was never recognized. No Medal of Honors came out until about 2009, and I think they're thinking that there had to be some before that, you know, to recognize those guys for just phenomenal bravery.
Yeah.
So, Colby, what do you think is the most exciting or the most attractive thing for you to write in the future? Are you going to stick with the military? I mean, I really enjoyed Lost in America. I thought, you know, you were the right guy for that job. Are you going to try and stay with the military genre? Are you going to keep branching out? You know, our good friend Matt Gallagher just, you know, like, stepped up his fiction game. Like, what's on the docket for you in the future writing-wise?
Well, the military thing, I mean, that wasn't by choice. It was just sort of when an editor contacts me, 10 times out of 10, it's something military-related. So, like, I'll write something. I mean, I remember 10 years ago when I got out, I was, like, thinking to myself, yeah, you know, I'm going to write this war memoir, and then that'll be it. I'll never write about the war again, you know. And it seems like every couple of months I go back and write about the war because being asked to. But, like, you know, I mean, like, this next one, you know, it's not, in a way, it is about the war, but it's about, like, more like the war at home, like the war that's going on here in America. And I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say, like, yeah, I only want to do this kind of writing or this other kind of writing. You know, I mean, I also wouldn't mind, you know, going back to the Middle East again, you know, like, so who knows? I mean, you can't really predict things or any of that, you know.
Would you like to go there as, like a follow-up, like,
yeah, I'd just like to go there and check it out.
Like, where are they now, you know? Kind of thing?
No, I mean, it's, I don't know. With all the things that's going on in the Middle East, I got a feeling that, you know, this thing's far from over, and we're going to have some sort of a presence or something's going to happen sooner or later. And, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't mind going back, you know, but this time as a writer.
Well, I totally get that. You know, I went back and I'm like still trying to properly, you know, tell that story is, you know, the one I'm trying to like refine the best because it was such a change. Like going back to Iraq as a civilian and, you know, looking at it through a completely different lens without military people present, you know, just doing, it was a very strong experience, but it was also very cathartic, visceral. There's so many words I could use because it was so interesting to do it. So I get that, man. And you know, I would not suggest doing it in the very near future.
unless you're going to enter from Turkey and be well,
in which case,
up on your Arabic. And
I got, you know, from Todd and my work up there in the north, I got some Pesh guys I should probably put you with, but you know, I get it, man. Like that's so neat that you say that. Cause you know, I've thought that several times, you know, about my experience going back and like how I want to tell that story because it's strong. So you've been traveling a lot. You've been writing, you know, doing little things.
what is something in terms of an assignment? You know, you wrote a really cool piece a couple of years ago with Esquire that, you know, cracked me up because I was like, the dude really wants to see the movie Zodiac. You know, like, you got anything like that? You know, any kind of like curiosities?
No, I got some ideas. I mean, right now I'm like in the middle of finishing up this story, and yeah, I kind of want to, you know, take a break from like military kind of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on in this country right now. I mean, this country, you know, I mean, just watch the news or log on to Facebook. I mean, it's you know, things are kind of heated right now in this country. And, you know, being a writer, you know, you shouldn't just pigeonhole yourself in one kind of specific topic, you know. You know, and the kind of writing I want to do is kind of, you know, stuff that, you know, kind of have a little bit of an importance to them, you know.
Well, you know, the whole time we're talking, I'm sitting here thinking about and you know, him following around Bobby Kennedy. And I'm like, dude, if I could have Colby following around like some of these candidates right now, that's, it would be money. Like, I'm gonna send Colby to document your candidacy.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that would, like, I bet you I could probably raise the money to pull that off, because like, that would be pretty strong. But hey, man, we gotta, you know, the show's running long. We're about to wrap up. But hey, make sure, tell us a little bit about your website. I like it. I really like how on your About Me page you just have a really cool picture. But tell us where they can find out more about you, where they can get your books, especially the newest offering, Thanks for Being Expendable, Twitter, all that great stuff. And then we're going to ask a quick question after that.
Yeah, you could just go to my website, ColeyBazell.com, and you know, it has all that stuff, links to everything I've ever written. And that photo that you talked about, you know, it's just like a selfie. It was took in West Virginia, and that little diner behind me was location that Hank Williams Sr. Died at. You know, he was driving home and on tour after show, and he parked in that diner and, like, died that night. I think, like, drank himself to death or something. And, you know, I was just hanging out in West Virginia, driving through, found that, you know, I was bored, parked my car, took a picture, and that's what it is. And, yeah, and all the books are on, like, Amazon or whatever.
Well, we got the State of the Union coming up here in a little bit, so Troy and I are going to be live tweeting and commenting about all the shenanigans and also the message. But, hey, man, we really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know you're working hard these days. Super excited to hear about the new project, especially since it involves the Republic at Tejas. But, man, thanks for taking the time coming on. We'd love to have you back on in a little bit, you know, maybe in a month or two, and talk more about some stuff, if you're welcome to do that.
Yeah, totally. Anytime you need me. And thanks for having me on, and thanks for the kind words and all that stuff, you know. Just thank you.
All right, my man.
Thanks a lot, Colby. Appreciate it, man. Good talking to you, brother.
All right. Cool. Thanks.
So, like, guy goes from Tomahawk to, like,
E4 Mafia.
Straight up, man. He was. But I got to tell you, he wrote one of the most beautiful pieces about a formation in Purple Hearts, where you stand there in a formation at the height of, like, when indirect fire is coming in, sitting there with sweat bead coming down. The most beautiful piece of writing I've read in a long time. And that was years ago. And I've been a fan ever since.
All right. So, everybody, we got the State of the Union coming up tonight. It is going live. They're going to be calling the Sergeant at Arms. They're going to be calling the Big O down here in a second. So we are going to Facebook.com, Stew and the Nun. We will both be on there just commenting, putting our opinions up. Be sure and check out our page. We have our State of the Union drinking bingo game up, drinking game up there. So take a shot every time the president says one of those words. And we look forward to talking to you all next week. We have another great show lining up and some great shows coming up. So everyone, thanks a lot for tuning in tonight.
That's it. The Stew and the Nun are out. God bless. See you next week.